In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
So without further ado, please rise on our feet and with honor in our heart and with excitement to receive from God, let's clap our hands and welcome our guest for her last session with us. If I was the one you were clapping for, I wouldn't come up.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to first of all appreciate each and every one of you for still being here. It's been a long day. It's been a stretch, but I believe that God has something for each and every one of you here. So before we sit, I would like us to just spend a little time in prayer. The prayer point actually dropped in my spirit this afternoon during the, or should I say morning, during the morning session when I came in. And the Holy Spirit asked me to lead us in this prayer point. And the first thing I just wanted to say is that the womb is the birthplace of destiny. And only a woman has a womb. So the Lord has asked me to lead us in prayers. And we are going to use our hands as a point of contact and lay it on our stomach. Because one thing that I have discovered that is happening in this our generation is that women are having problems with conceiving. Most marriages now, if you look at the pattern, the delay in childbirth, that is one. Two, when the children come, things that we are not used to hearing. When we were growing up, there was nothing like autism. We didn't know it. Maybe it existed, but we didn't know it. It was not as rampant as it is now. But now, one in every, like, two or three children is autistic. They are in different spectrums, but you don't know the pain of having an autistic child. And that is what the enemy is doing to attack the next generation. Because the enemy does not want the next generation to be birthed. The destinies that are meant to be coming, the enemy wants to hinder them. So in the next few minutes, we're just going to go ahead and pray. Please just start praying in the spirit. Just lay your hands on your stomach and just begin to pray in the spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray over your daughters tonight. Lord, you have asked me to lead them in these prayers. Lord, we pray over their womb. Lord, the womb is the birthplace of destiny. Women, I'm not sure you understand the battle that the enemy has over your lives and your destinies. The destinies of your children. You don't have to have a child now. You don't have to be married now. But prayer is the seed. You sow a seed of prayer. So go ahead and pray concerning the future of your children. Red Bull, Sikada, Baba, 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 Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Please celebrate God as you take your seats. Amen. You know, if this prayer alone is the only thing we did here right now, we have done something. Because you might not understand the power of what you have done. You might not understand the mystery behind what you have done. Some of you might be thinking, I'm not even married. I'm not even in a relationship. But you are sowing a seed. You're going ahead to make those arrangements for yourself in the realms of the spirit. So that when it is time for you to birth your children, they will come at the appointed time. And when it is time for you to bring them into the world, they will come as healthy babies. Nobody is saying amen. Hallelujah. Standing on all existing protocols, I want to say thank you once again, Apostle, for this opportunity. I want to also say thank you, sir. Thank you for giving us the venue to use, the church to use. So quickly, without any waste of time, yesterday we had spoken about alignment, and I wouldn't want to touch anything with regards to that. If you do not listen to the message on alignment, it's on the social media, on the YouTube, so you can listen to it. And even if you've listened to it, please listen to it again, because there's something that you might have missed here that you will be able to catch up on. And again, Apostle came here and he added more flesh to what I was saying. After talking about alignment, he came and he talked about your identity, discovering your identity. And when he was done, I actually told him, sir, the Spirit of God is one, because that was actually part of my message. However, because I was working with time, I didn't know how I was going to compress that into my message. And so I left it. And as he came and started talking about discovering your identity, I just said, thank you, Jesus. You know, so tonight, like I mentioned yesterday, that this is a two-part, and tonight we're going to be discussing on discovering your assignments. Discovering your assignments. Don't forget, we said yesterday, in this kingdom, to be on the front lines, you must be in alignment with the will of God. And after being in alignment, the next step is to discover your assignment, who you are. Why was I born? What am I supposed to be doing? And for the person who asked the question this during the morning session, I hope that you are here. And for others that did not ask the question, it is actually a very important question. You need to know why you are here and what you are meant to be doing. So quickly, let me have Jeremiah 29:11. Okay. That should be, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is what the Lord is saying. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And our next text will be from the book of Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. And it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. From this scripture, you can already see what is happening. That God is saying, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil. And then this one says that, so that you can do the things that I planned for you to do long ago. It means that you were here for a reason. There is something that God has planned for you to do. And so we will start by defining the assignment. What is the assignment? If you're writing, what is the assignment? And I wrote here that your assignment is God's purpose for your life, expressed through your obedience to fulfill his will on earth. I'll take that again. Your assignment is God's purpose for your life, which is expressed through your obedience to fulfill his will on earth. So you must be obedient, and you must, whatever you're doing, must be towards fulfilling the will of God on earth. And I also said that your assignment is your contribution to the kingdom of God. So anything that you're doing that has to do with your assignment is your contribution to the kingdom of God. And so as believers, we all have a corporate mandate. And our corporate mandate is the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew 28:18-20. But for emphasis, Matthew 19, verse 19, 28, verse 19. And this is Jesus Christ commissioning the disciples. Yeah. Matthew. Sorry. Okay. And it says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So as a believer, as far as, and I'm not using the word Christian because I don't want to use that word, but as a believer, our corporate assignment is evangelism. That is what all of us are supposed to be doing. So before you discover your personal assignment, and even when you discover your personal assignment, the corporate assignment is to make disciples of all the nations. So that will be your starting point if you have not discovered your assignment, to start evangelizing. Just go and start evangelizing. As you are doing that, you will even find out if maybe that is your area of calling. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says in Jeremiah 1 verse 5 to 10, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is a scripture that I think we've heard over and over again between yesterday and today. I ordained you and I sanctified you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, this is Jeremiah now replying God. And he said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a young child. I am young. I am a youth. And immediately God rebukes Jeremiah. And he said, do not say that you are a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. For many of you, God is already speaking to you, but you've already said, ah, God, I'm not qualified. Ah, I cannot go. I cannot look at them in the faces and speak to them. But God is rebuking you tonight as he rebuked Jeremiah to say, do not say that you are young. Do not say that you're not qualified. Because who actually defines qualification? What defines a qualification? So if God is sending you, he is sending you to the people because he knows that you are the right voice for those people. So do not ever limit yourself when you hear God say, go. By the way, God is not going to send anybody that he has not trained. Because like he did with Jeremiah here, immediately he anointed him. There was an unction that came upon him. And he was equipped to carry out that assignment. So there is no assignment that you will go for that you are not equipped to carry out. I'm still laying a foundation and I'm still defining what an assignment is. Your assignment is what you never get tired of doing. So it is something that even if you are not paid for it, it's born out of passion. So whether from today to tomorrow or in how many years to come, you never get value for it. You will still continue to do it because it's coming from within. You're not doing it to please anybody. You're not doing it. So that's one of the ways you also discover your assignment, especially for people who are very creative, who are very artistic, who are very, you know, people that sing, people that play the instruments. These are ways, because whether or not you're paid, these are things you do on your own. However, like Apostle will say, he started as a drummer. So just because you start from a point, it does not mean that that is the end. That is only the foundation. That is only the birthplace of where God is actually taking you to. So don't just stop there. When the ark was supposed to be designed, the ark of the tabernacle, what the Holy Spirit did was he said that I will put my spirit upon Bezalel. That's the spirit of creativity. So if you are a creative, don't actually take it for granted, because there's a reason why God made you artistic. There's a reason why God made you creative. If you are somebody who does makeup, let's say you are a makeup artist. Now, the difference between you being a makeup artist at the normal level and you being a makeup artist that would do the makeup of the president's wife is that you have to put in the work, diligence. So you have to equip yourself. It's not enough to be a makeup artist, but that you have to improve, because it is based on skill and recommendation. Those are the things that will open the doors for you. And like Nehemiah, there are some of you that it is that thing you do that will take you into the palace. And hope you know that sometimes most of these VIPs, the closest people to them are actually the people that work for them. So the access that you and I cannot get on a normal basis, that you have to book appointments, you have to go through protocols, you have to go through different people. If you are their cook, for instance, or you're somebody who takes care of their children, you can easily come and say, ah, ma, I have this problem. And she will say, what is it? And you will say it, and your problem has been sorted. People that are paying to have access to them cannot even get that access. But you, because of what you do with your hands, it has opened the doors for you. And why am I saying this? Because I don't want you to take for granted the things that God has given you. The world of today is not really a white-collar job world. There are not really white-collar jobs anymore. The government cannot really give you jobs. What you can do is with your hands. You are able to create, you are able to do things. And that is why even people that relocate and travel abroad, you see that those that know how to do things with their hands, they excel more, because they are looking for people who can braid hair. If you know the cost, what it takes to braid hair abroad, you will actually go and learn how to plait hair. Like, plait it very well, so that the day you go, you will really be making money and you will be making those turnovers. So I'm saying this so that you don't take for granted the things that you can do with your hands. Not everybody is going to stand where I'm standing or where Apostle is standing on this pulpit. However, your assignment is going to be what will take you to what God wants you to do. And so in discovering your assignment, there are two pathways, prophetic pathways, I call it, towards discovering assignments. There's the Moses pathway. That is Moses as a system now, not Moses as, you know, the deliverer part of it, but Moses as a system. And then there is the Aaron pathway, which is Aaron also as a system. Now, when I say as a system, Moses is called as a deliverer. So there are people whose prophetic assignment is that you are called to people. That is people in governance, people in ministry, pastors, evangelists. Your calling and your assignment is to people. Like Esther. She got comfortable when she became a queen. She almost forgot her assignment. Her assignment was not becoming a queen. Her assignment was saving and preserving the lives of the Jews. And she almost missed that, if not for Mordecai. So I want you to know that even as you prepare to be a queen, that in being a queen, you must still discover what your assignment is. And then when I say Aaron, Aaron was called to Moses. That was his assignment. Again, not everybody is going to be at the front and center when people will see them. But you see, Pneumatech will not be the way it is if there were no my brothers here standing, the people on the keyboard, the people that keep the sanctuary clean. So if there was no all of this assistance attached to the man of God, then he cannot do it alone. So don't despise the place of your assignment. Just because you see this guy standing here, you don't know where he's going to be tomorrow. But he is serving as an Aaron right now because he is called to apostle, who is a Moses. So, like Naomi, she was an Aaron. And Ruth was called to her. It was through Naomi that Ruth met Boaz. Though Naomi was her mother-in-law, but Naomi was a pathway. So I want to speak to the older women who are here. First of all, to appreciate them for being here and for their time and effort. But if you are a mother and you are in a place of mentorship, that is an assignment. Because you are meant to raise the younger generation. You are meant to mentor the younger generation. As you saw during the panel sessions, most of the things that we discussed, the married women that we discussed, came from a place of experience. There are some things that you cannot find it inside a book. Even the Bible, you will not find it inside. Like my experiences that I shared this afternoon, if you read from Genesis to Revelations, you're not going to find it inside. It is experience. And so if you are a Naomi, please mentor the next generation. And all of you sitting here will one day be a Naomi. So when you become a Naomi, please take time and mentor the next generation. Some of you are first daughters. Some of you are firstborns. You are already acting in the capacity of a Naomi. It is your responsibility to put your younger ones in order, to train them in the way of the Lord. So until you discover your assignment, that leadership as the first child is the starting point of your assignment. I hope we have understood that. Okay. I can see that my time is running, so let me just fly. Okay. So now, how do you discover your assignment? That is my next area for tonight. How do you discover your assignment? And I said the first way you can discover your assignment is by submitting to the discipline of prayer. Submitting to the discipline of prayer. Please let me have Matthew 6 verse 5 to 10. While I'm waiting for media, what is prayer? Prayer is a means of communication between God and man. It is the only authorized platform or channel for man to communicate with God. So anytime you want to come before God, you must come from the place of prayer. And the Bible says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples when they were asking him, how do we pray? And he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. So if this is why you are praying, then there's a problem with your prayer, because the Bible already calls it out. Do not be like the hypocrites that are praying so that you can be seen by men. And then it says, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. Next, okay. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. You know, God, Jesus Christ is talking about the Father who is in the secret place. But I hope you know that when he's saying, go into your room, shut your door, he's also talking about a secret place. So when you're praying, you're supposed to be praying from a secret place. I hope you understand that. And then he said, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Next, please. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Let's go. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask him. So all of us that come to God because we have a need, you know that he already knows your need before you come. So he wants to see where you are coming from. What point are you coming from? Are you coming from a place of intimacy? Are you coming from a place of relationship? Or are you coming from a place of transaction? I talked about that yesterday. I will not put so much emphasis there. And then he said, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We all know this. But when he says, hallowed be your name, you come from a place of reverence. That you give him reverence. You honor him. You appreciate him. And then he says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first point of prayer is the will of God. That his will be done on earth. So we are all here. Our assignment, like I had mentioned, is that we are here to fulfill the will of God on earth. We are here for the purpose of the kingdom. And so you can see that the next one says, give us this day our daily bread. Many of us have switched the prayer. We start with, give us this day our daily bread. And that will be in when you are asking for your several requests. You know, it might not be literal. But then he's saying, no, please, let's go back to, before that. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. You know, while I was reading, give us this day our daily bread. There is a level that you get to with God that even that daily bread has to do with his will. Do you know why? Because there's a scripture that when Jesus was with the Samaritan woman at the well and his disciples were looking for him, when they came to him and they were asking him, have you eaten? He said, my food is to do the will of my Father. Well, this is not for everybody. But there's a level you get to with God that your food, that daily bread, you're not asking for what you will eat or what you will wear, your request. No, because it has already been taken over by events. So you are still emphasizing that my food is to do the will of my Father. So we are still asking God to give us this day, to help us to discover our assignment so that we can fulfill his will. Now, the truth of the matter is that prayer is a lot of work. It takes discipline. It takes discipline. And earlier today, Apostle said when he went home, he did not pray. You know, some of you would think that that statement he made is for everybody. It would be arrogant for anyone sitting here to go home or to have gone home yesterday and not prayed. Do you know why? Because you are not on the same level. There are levels in the kingdom. And you know, our generation is becoming quite an arrogant generation. We see fathers, we see them do things, and we think, what is it now? What's there? I can do it now. What's there to even start a ministry? It's not just to get one or two people. No. It will be arrogance to leave this place and not pray. Because, you see, he's going to sleep that yesterday. He has angels on assignment. Your angels, I don't know if you have put them to work. Because before he came here, I had a conversation with him, which day was that? The day I arrived. And he told me for 3 years, he was praying. He built an altar of prayer, which is still going on in University of Maiduguri. So he can go and pray because there are people that are interceding for him. So don't be arrogant and go and pray, oh, and go and sleep, oh. You wake up and you pray. Yesterday I left here. I was tired. I had to go through my notes and everything. We have a prayer platform. We pray every Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Some of them are here. My brothers are here. They are part of the prayer platform. And yesterday was Friday. And I looked at the time. We pray from 11 to 12. And I was like, I don't know if I can. And really, if I did not pray too, really and truly, they are praying for me. And I can justifiably say I did something. So God too will pity me. He will have mercy. He will say, angels, oh yeah, she tried. But you know, there was just an unction of strength that came. As I was preparing, I saw the time. It was 11, and I just joined in. And we did not only pray. When we got to 12, we finished praying and we entered discussions. We started to discuss events and happenings because that's where we build each other up. By the time I slept, it was maybe 2 a.m. I kind of joined Hallelujah Challenge to see what was happening, to listen to the message by Daddy Apostle Joshua Selman before I slept and woke up to come here this morning. So really, it will be very arrogant for you to not have a life of prayer. And I'm saying this because I am a product of prayer. I was birthed from a place of prayer. And you know, I asked you guys to pray about your womb before I started. It was while the prayer was going on that I realized why that prayer point came to me. Guess why? I was not born after my parents got married. They did not have me until after 11 years. 11. So I am a product of prayer. It took a praying mother to go on her knees every night. Year one, karadaba shetakada ba 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 ba, it's nothing. Year two, rada ba 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 ba, nothing. 3, 4, 5, nothing. 6, nothing. This is not our generation, no. This is their generation. And so you know what it means. If today, when you don't have a child, you know the pressure that you are in for not having a child, then imagine how it was over 30 years ago. Year 6, nothing. Year 7, nothing. Guess what? She was serving, no? She was serving in ministry. She was a woman of God in Maiduguri. Her generation know of her. Her generation know of her. She was serving in ministry. She had prayer warriors. She had men of power and strength pray for her. I was told that the late Papa Idahusa came to my house. She hosted him because during those days in Maiduguri, of course, not anybody can host him. And you know, it's funny. I was telling Apostle when he said there is now a female attorney general. My mom was actually the first and had been the only female attorney general in Maiduguri, Borno State, until this one now. So few people had gotten to her position. And so only people of her capacity could host men like that. And one day he gave her a prophecy. While they were at the dining table, he stood up and went to a flower like this. And she said, Papa, what is happening? And he said, I see a baby playing with this flower. He casually said it. That was a prophecy. And he left. And he said, by the next time I'm in Maiduguri, there's going to be a baby playing with this flower. And he went. The year passed. No baby arrived. She did not stop praying. She continued to pray. She continued to pray. Like I said, after 11 years, that child finally arrived. And when Papa Idahusa came back to Maiduguri, like I heard, they were having lunch on the dining table. And me from nowhere, obviously, I guess it's the Holy Spirit that pushed me, I ran into the living room and I went straight to that flower. And that was when she said, Papa, I remember the prophecy. And he picked me up and he laid his hands on my head and he prayed for me. I never saw him. I never met him. But what I'm trying to tell you is that prayer is a seed. Because the reason why I am standing here today is not by my power. It's not by my might. It's not by my doing. But it is that prayers had already been sent forth. They had gone ahead of me. And so even when the enemy decided to distract me with career, even when the enemy decided to distract me by taking me abroad to school, God brought me back to Nigeria. You heard it in my whatever bio that I did my first and second degree in the UK. I was here in UniMed when my dad called me one day and said, you're going to the UK. Now, of course, I was very happy to go. Who would not be happy to go? I was very happy to go. But you know, my going to the UK, even unknown to him, it was as I was preparing for this message that I discovered that it was part of my assignment to go and be trained Do you understand the training? The training is that so I can be able to stand here and speak to anybody. No matter your degree in English, at least you can hear me. No matter your degree, any room I enter, you will have a conversation with me. Because even before I open my mouth, I carry a presence. And it's not pride, but I know the human capital that has been spent on me. And so even though my dad might not have known, because as at the time I went to university, my mom was late. She died when I was 14. She was gone. She had finished her assignments. She was gone. But something in my father, you know, at that time, 2008, northern men, it's not heard of for a northern man to sponsor a female child to school abroad. It's not heard. And so there were people who said, you're wasting money. Why would you spend such money on a female child that is going to end up becoming somebody's husband? But thank God for the father that I had. He was not a father that taught that way, because whether the name behind my name is not his name, if you open my blood, what is inside? It's not my husband's blood now. It's my father's blood, Abby. When they do DNA. And I'm saying this, I wish that there were more men here, because we need to deconstruct that mental mindset that you don't train a female child. Have you not heard that in old age, it is the female daughters that come back to take care of you? You better sponsor them all, so that they will be rich, so that they will have money, so that when you are not well, they will fly you in first class and take you to first class facility abroad and treat you and bring you back. And I want to talk about the role of parents in discovering a child's assignment. It is very important for parents to discern. Again, I go back to the prayer we started with. Because some of you, your assignment is not about you. It's about the Samuel that is going to come out of your womb. It's about the Jesus, his lineage, that is going to come out. So that prayer is not really for yourself. It's Hannah standing in the system as a Hannah to pray. It's Anna the prophetess praying consistently for 60 years. 60. My mom, her own was 11, but Anna, 60. Praying until she saw the prophecy of the birth of the Messiah come to life. So parents, don't love your children too much to be the stumbling block to them discovering their assignments. Assignments comes from the Lord. However, you must discover your assignment yourself. And like I said, for some, your parents, depending on their level of light and transformation, they may be able to discern and know, like the mother of Moses. As she gave birth to him, she knew this child is a special child. I have to hide him. Why did she do that? Because one, she was in alignment yesterday. And two, she knew that this boy, even though I don't really know, based on my capacity then, I don't really know, but I know that this child is not an ordinary child, so I have to preserve his destiny. I have to take care of him. And so there are times when, for some of you, you're going to have to take difficult decisions, like sending your children off to certain kind of schools, because they need the foundation. They need where they are going to get the training to be able to discover their assignments. Recently, this year, fortunately, my first son got admission into Deeper Life High School for secondary school. Before he got that admission, it was a prayer point. Because again, I am not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. His attack is on the next generation. That is why everything is happening so fast. Access to internet. Yesterday, I saw a 12-year-old boy died from a TikTok challenge. He was inhaling, is it a body spray or something? So you see, this phone, don't love your child too much and give him this phone or give them this phone. They don't need it. Did we have phones when we were growing up? No. Did we die? No. So why do you need to expose your children to social media? Why? I had to pray and ask God to give me, tell me the school that my child will go to. Some of you don't even pray about this kind of decisions. Do you know what school does? That is where your children meet with so many other children from so many other backgrounds, mixing with so many other spirits. And you know, children are very fragile. Their spirit is very fragile. So these are the places where you must be alert as a parent. By the grace of God, He wrote the admission, wrote the exam for Deeper Life High School, got the admission. It's a boarding school. It was difficult for me, honestly. We cried. The day I took him to school, you would think we came from burial ground. We cried, me and his younger brother. We were just crying. In fact, I had to even hold myself because the brother was crying. So me, I had to be strong. But in fact, my driver was just saying, "Kai, madam, ki how kuri, ki how kuri." And I said, "Thank you." When I entered the room, I wailed. By the time I finished, I cleaned my eyes. I said, "Toh, it is well. Father, into your hands, I commit this boy." But guess what? I've already prepared a pathway for the future of that boy. He cannot come out from his 6 years discipline and training under Papa Kumuyi and be a normal child. No, he cannot. So I've had to let go of the love. It's tough love, but it's a love that I've had to give to make him better, because tomorrow is not me that will be drinking Panadol for headache. He will be the one that will be taking care of me. And who knows, maybe tomorrow he might be the one standing here in his generation. Because guess what? God is the God of Isaac. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He repeats the patterns. He walks in those ways. And so he was the God of Lydia. He's the God of Jagla. And he will be the God of EJ and Jasubu. Those are my children's names. Hallelujah. Okay. The next way to discover your assignment is through the ministry of the word. But I don't want to spend time in this one, you know. Let me just quickly read a scripture and I will just say Selah after that scripture. Let me have Luke chapter 4 verse 16 to 21. So he came to Nazareth, this is Jesus now, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He had to open the book to find out what was written about him. So, if Jesus Christ had to open the book to find out what was written about him, then you must open the book, the word. Because it is written about you here. Like Prophet Jeremiah, it was written before you were formed, I knew you. So it is written about each and every one of us in the book. And I just want to leave that there. Maybe later, Apostle can come and add flesh to that. But for now, let me just walk with the time I have. Now, the next way that you can discover your assignment is by submitting yourself under the ministry of a teaching priest. And I said, I'm jumping here because I will do well to talk on this issue. Ministry of a teaching priest. Jeremiah 3:15. Before I go further, actually, please, let's just give the angel, well now, two angels over this house and over Pneumatech a standing ovation for what they are doing in your lives. It takes a teaching priest that loves you to invest in your destiny, to invest in your to invest in helping you discover your assignments. And for every other teaching priest that is in Nigeria, that is in Africa, that is across the nation of the earth, let's go ahead and celebrate them. Thank you. You may have your seats. You may have your seats. And the Bible says, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. One of the greatest keys to discovering your assignment is submission to spiritual authority. You must submit to spiritual authority if you want to discover your assignment. Who is a spiritual authority? It is a man or a woman appointed to instruct you, to correct you, to guide you, and to build you according to his word and his truth. That is a teaching priest. So if you are under anybody that calls themselves a teaching priest and they are not doing these things, they are not teaching, they are not instructing, they are not correcting. I know we don't like that correction part, but it's in the Bible. That's part of their mandate, to correct you, to rebuke you, to change you, to make you better, so that when you go out there, you will be great representatives of the kingdom. Not of them. It's not about them. It's about the kingdom. That's the assignment. So that is the role of a teaching priest. A teaching priest is a spiritual authority who opens the word and gives clarity so that you can understand God's patterns for your life and your destiny. Malachi 2 verse 7, amplified version, please. A teaching priest explains the word of God line upon line, precepts upon precepts. There are some mysteries that are contained in this book that it would take someone who has encountered the spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to be able to unravel those mysteries and bring it to you. And it sounds very easy. But when you go and open that same scripture, you will read it and say, but where did he get what he was saying from? That is a teaching priest. And so the Bible says in Malachi 2 verse 7, for the priest's lips should guard and keep pure the knowledge of my law. And the people should seek, inquire for, and require instruction at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. I did not say it. It's the Bible that said it. So in discovering your assignment, you should be under a teaching priest who will be able to help you as you ask questions. He will be able to lead you in the right path, in the right way, as you are discovering your assignment. This is the role of a teaching priest. So every day you are under the ministry of a teaching priest, you are being transformed and you are being shaped to become a better version of yourself. A teaching priest is a maker of men. He makes men. Please write that down. A teaching priest makes men. And we will go with Jesus Christ, who is our pattern teaching priest. Matthew 4:19. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Ordinary people like Simon, ordinary people like Andrew, ordinary people like Matthew, they did not know that they are going to be writing books in the Bible that how many years down the line we are still reading about them. But they believed him, they trusted him, and they left everything they were doing and they followed him. Of course, it was not always easy. Of course, there were times when they did not really understand him. There were times when he would speak parables and they would say, now how, what's he talking about now again? But he knew, and they knew, that if I submit to this authority, I will become a fisher of men. A teaching priest is a man who transforms ordinary men to become extraordinary kingdom exploits. And when I say kingdom exploits, please, I need us to be thinking outside of the church. Because we have seven mountains of influence. We have the mountain of education. We have the mountain of government and politics. We have the mountain of business. We have the mountain of family. We have the mountain of religion. We have the mountain of finance. And then we have the mountain... Oh, okay, I put education... I put politics and governance together. We have politics, we have government. These are all mountains. And if you look at the Bible, you know, because we have a Joseph who was sent as a prime minister. It was a mountain of government. It was a mountain of politics. But what was his work? His work was to preserve the heritage of the Israelites, if not hunger for kill all of them. But he was on assignment. Even though his path to discovering his assignment was a narrow and steep road, he suffered, but he ended up there. We have a Daniel who also represents the mountain of politics and governance. So not all of us will end up here. However, wherever you end up, you are supposed to represent God's kingdom come agenda. When you enter a boardroom and they are taking decisions, you should be able to speak for the Israelites, which is us. When they are taking a decision that is contrary to the kingdom of God, when they are saying, maybe we should actually change church time, they should only be having service for 2 hours. You will tell them, no, we cannot only have service for 2 hours. And you will give reasons why, not emotional reasons, but intelligent reasons why they should not reduce service times. Why? Because the church is one of the platforms, especially in Africa and in Nigeria, of rehabilitation. Do you know what the church does for people? You are sick, you call your pastor. So even if he cannot give you money, he prays for you and you receive healing. Then the one that the prayer is not going to be enough, he will call the head of finance, send money, let's pay the bill. Who would do that for you? Only people that love God. Only people that love God. You will come hungry, you will meet a neighbor in church, and you say, ma, please, I don't have transport. And they will remove money and give you. Go out there. Who know you? Only the church of God can do that. So, in as much as people say abroad, you know, they are government, they have systems, they take care of people, they do this. That is what the church is doing in Nigeria. That is, I cannot tell you the outreaches, which is sponsor, going to the villages, taking relief materials, taking food items, taking medications. Is it the government that is sponsoring it? It's not. The kingdom. So we are all needed in every mountain of influence. And that is what the teaching priest does. He builds you and he directs you towards the mountain that you are supposed to be. Again, I said, it is important to submit to a teaching priest because one, you come into alignment with divine order. When you submit to a teaching priest, you know, if not for the angel over this house, you will not have heard the message on alignment that I taught yesterday, because he single-handedly picked me and asked me to come here to teach you people. You gain understanding of your assignment when you submit to a teaching priest. You also receive impartation when you submit to a teaching priest. What is impartation? Impartation is the grace for wisdom and favor to carry out your own assignment. You cannot go on your own if you have not received impartation. You need impartation because impartation is not only the grace, but is a covering. So if you had only two angels attached to you, the angels of the man that is over you will follow you as you go on an assignment, as far as it is in alignment with the will of God. Oh, no, carry yourself, go the assignment where they don't send you. Elisha discovered his calling by serving Elijah. He served Elijah. You know, when he said he wanted the double portion of that anointing, do you know what Elijah told him? He said, if you see when I'm going, then, do you know what that means? It means that if Elijah is sleeping, Elisha has to be awake. Because he could go while he was sleeping. So how do you want to collect the double portion? If I'm sleeping and he's sleeping, one of us has to be awake. Elisha was hungry. He was hungry. And he served with diligence. Ordinarily, that mantle was not supposed to pass to him. But he skipped the order. So sometimes your anger, your hunger, sorry, and your submission to the authority over you can cause him to divert that anointing to you. So serve well. Serve diligently. Serve with all your heart. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. Joshua learned leadership by staying under Moses. Joshua could not be a leader on his own. He saw what Moses did. And he was able to learn how he can maintain order amongst these Israelites. You know, they were one... Hi, in fact, I was reading the Bible and I was like, what kind of stubborn set of people are these? Like, I don't understand. But that's how we are. Anyways, that's our nature as man. We are stubborn. We don't listen. You know, we'll go and make the mistake. Then we'll come back and ask for mercy. Thank God that our God is a merciful God. The disciples became world changers by walking with Jesus. So before God reveals your platform to you, he will first give you a priest. And he will bring you under the priest who will train you. You might not enjoy the training, no. It might be harsh. You might be like, now wow. You'd be like, say, I should have just stayed far away. Because you know how they always say, like, Apostle Joshua Salman will always say, people come to him to say, Daddy, we want you to mentor me. But he's like, you've not seen the angry side of me. If you see the angry side of me, you will run away. You will not ask me to mentor you. But that is what, before God gives you your own platform, he brings you under a priest. Before he sends you out, he sends you under. So you must serve somebody. You must serve under somebody. And then, finally, I will say on this teaching priest that even Jesus, who is our ultimate role model, you could see that when he came, before he started his ministry, he had to submit under John the Baptist. He knew that he was the Son of God. However, he needed to submit under John the Baptist, who baptized and ordained him. So ordination and that baptism, it's very important. And if Jesus Christ had to do that, it means that God established a protocol. So it means that if you are truly called, especially to serve in this kingdom, you must submit to a teaching priest. You must submit to the teaching priest. I know some people will say, but they have a higher priesthood, who is Jesus Christ. So, may I not reach that level. Maybe Apostle will come and talk on that, but let me just say, Selah. Finally, one of the ways you can discover your assignment is through obedience and surrender. You know this will. It is us versus him. Or should I say him versus us? Until we finally agree and meet at the middle point, we will not discover our assignment. It takes obedience. And Abraham is our role model when it comes to obedience. Because when God called him out and he said, I'm sending you to a land, Abraham just said, yes, sir. He did not ask, where am I going? So who is going to pay my transport? Where? Who is going to follow me? Where am I going to sleep? Ha, now wow, this kind of assignment, I don't used to understand. God will just say, go like that. Abraham was a man of obedience. And so when Isaac came again, God told Abraham, give me thy son, thy only son. And you know that if Abraham was not used to obeying God, that would have been the moment where he would have started to say, maybe the frequency, I'm not hearing. Maybe there's something happened. I cannot really hear that radio station. It's not playing well. He will say, let me go and discuss with Sarah. But he knows the voice. And so when he heard it, he just knew, I cannot even argue. But then he knew that the same God that told him, leave your father's house and go where I will send you. It was the same God that said, give me your son, your only son Isaac. So he knew that if that God can be faithful, then even if I give him my Isaac, he will still remain faithful. And so he went to give Isaac, but of course he's a faithful God. And he provided a lamb. He was just trying to see if Abraham had died to self. And there is a level that you must get to discovering your assignment. You have to die to self. As found in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. This is Apostle Paul. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Apostle Paul was living a life of a man who had died to self. And you would discover that during Apostle Paul's journeys, the course of his journeys, there were times when he would go to some cities and the Holy Spirit will warn him that this city you're going to, you will be imprisoned. But Apostle Paul said, he's all right. I will stay. Why? Because he had died to self. And yesterday, Apostle was sharing some of his stories of how he started ministry. I know that he did not study theology in school. At least that one, I know. So I know that while he was in school, he was studying to pursue a career. And he even told us today that his heart desire was to be a senator. Right? To be a politician. So it only takes a man of obedience and a man who has died to self to first of all pick up the cross and do the work of God. That's one. Two, it takes a man of obedience to remain in Maiduguri to do ministry. You did not hear me. It takes a man of obedience and surrender to remain in Maiduguri with all the crisis, with all the happenings that have happened in this town, to remain even when everybody left. Because guess what? If he had gone, he will still drive outside of Maiduguri. I hope you know. The only difference is that he will be driving on his own accord, not according to the will of God. Because I know some of you that are not walking in the will of God. You see that people who are in the world are thriving. And you say, well, but they don't know God now. How come they are succeeding? What will matter at the end when all is done is when you go before your maker. And he's judging your works. And he will say, you will say, God, but I did this. I did that. He will just say, I don't know what you're talking about. Because before you were formed, I knew you. And I knew what you were supposed to be doing for me. But you thought that the comfort of the world was better for you. And so you chose that. And I want to end by just drawing a caution to my generation. This is our generation. You know, we are in a generation where we take the mercy of God for granted. I used to take the mercy of God for granted because I thought, anything I do, is it not for me to come back and just say, Father, forgive me for my sins, and that's the end. However, there's a level that when you start to walk with God, like I said yesterday, that God is both lion and lamb. He is both Father and disciplinarian. So there is a level that you will get with him, that even things that ordinarily are not sin, like in the Bible, adultery, stealing, blah, 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 because of the level of your walk with him, disobedience is a sin. Do you understand? Not fulfilling your assignment becomes a sin. If he says pray and you don't pray, it becomes a sin. If he says fast, and that's when they just bring one nice pizza and it's, you know, the aroma is just, I am just like, hi, let me just postpone this fast. I'll fast tomorrow. Just that act of not obeying at the moment is a sin. So let's not trivialize the mercy of God. We are more than just ordinary people. The enemy has brought a lot of distraction. A lot of distraction. We are so distracted. We trivialize everything. Somebody will go to club on Saturday and be in church on Sunday. And you think it's all right. It's not all right. It's not all right. Let's not trivialize the mercy of God. People are beginning to take things into their hand, change laws, change things to the way that it will suit them, because they feel, well, we're in the 21st century, so God understands. He does not understand though. He's the God of His word. He's the God of His word. And so I just want to say, please, let us pay the price. In order to discover our assignment, let's pay the price, the discipline of prayer. Let's build a prayer altar for ourselves first. Before we join any other and follow the crowd, let's build an altar for ourselves. And then secondly, let's spend time in the Word of God. Because as you continue to spend time, I said yesterday, that you transform. And as you begin to transform, you see the actual prophetic version of you that was birthed, that was sent into the world. Please submit to the teaching priest that God has assigned under you. Submit while you are still there. And even when you leave, continue to submit. It's a protocol. It's a protocol. Finally, let's be obedient. Obedient to the word. Obedient to His ways. And obedient to His will. Have we been blessed tonight? Have we been blessed tonight? Why don't you rise and let us pray? Let's just pray a bit. Hallelujah. So the first prayer point I have here, we will be asking the Lord to open our eyes of understanding. Let the light of purpose shine in our hearts and reveal why we were created in the first place. Let's go ahead and pray. Ask the Lord to open the eye of your understanding. Let Him reveal why you were created in the first place. You know, you people have paid the price. I actually respect all of you that have sat from morning till this time, because you are here for serious business. That is why you are here. And because you are here, as you pray, God is honoring your prayer. Because it takes discipline to be here from morning until now. So go ahead and ask Him to reveal. Father, reveal by your word. Reveal through your prophets. Reveal through my teaching priest. Reveal to me who I'm supposed to be. Reveal to me what I was created to do. Amen. Prayer number two. Father, help me recognize your voice and your timing. Teach me to stand upon my watch until my assignment becomes plain. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, help me, help me, help me. Help me recognize your voice and timing. Help me recognize your voice and timing. Teach me to stand on my watch. Because while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. So teach me to stand upon my watch until my assignment be revealed unto me. Karadaba Shekaba. Amen. Prayer point number three. Father, plant me under the right voice and grace. Plant me under the right voice and grace. Connect me to the voice that carries the instruction and impartation for my assignment. Go ahead and pray. Father, plant me under the right voice, under the right voice, under the right grace. Rebo sika ba sheka ba, ba da ka da ba 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 sheka da ba, re de ke de 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 ke rebo sika ba, ma re ke de 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 ke rebo sika ba, re ba sa da ka da ba 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 ka da ba. Pray like your destiny depends on it. Pray like your destiny depends on it. Rebo sika ba sheka ba, ma ra da 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 ka da ba, ma re ke de 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 de, rebo sika ba. Amen. Last prayer. Lord, grant me the grace. In fact, just repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Grant me the grace.
Grant me the grace.
To obey promptly.
To obey promptly.
And to walk faithfully.
And to walk faithfully.
In my calling.
In my calling.
Let my life.
Let my life.
Bear the fruit that glorifies you.
Go ahead. Bear the fruit that glorifies
you. In the name of Jesus.
Let my life bear the fruit that glorifies you. In the name of Jesus.
Give their life to Christ, rededicate their lives, realign themselves. It's always important. Sometimes we take it for granted, but there might be somebody who is actually looking for an opportunity to know Jesus. So if you know in your heart of hearts that you are not connected with the Father, that you would like to, you know, realign yourself with Him, you would like to know Him, you would like Him to be the Lord and center of your life, please quickly, you may please come out quickly, if there's anybody, quickly, 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 if there's anybody, so that I can lead you to Jesus. If there's anybody, anybody, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. I came for 2 days. At least there must be one person, even if it's one person that the Lord is asking, is saying, allow me to come into your heart. Even if it's one, quickly, please. Okay. Amen. So I want to believe that we are all saved. We've all understood the foundation of knowing God, which is salvation, like I taught yesterday. And after salvation, transformation. and then empowerment. Transformation, like I said, is an ongoing process. And I forgot to mention something yesterday, which I need to mention today, that the excellence of today becomes the mediocrity of tomorrow. So you must press for transformation at every level, because as you think that you have arrived, people have already gone further. So you always, 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 and don't use people around you to judge yourself, because you might be the one taking first position amongst everybody there. But when you meet with people outside where you are, you will now find out that you are last. So always aim higher. Always aim higher. Amen. So before I leave, I know, actually, thank you, Apostle, for bringing me back here, because I almost left without praying for all of you. And so before I leave, I would just want to release some of the blessings that are upon my life. Like I said, I am a product of prayers. I've never struggled in life, in all honesty. I've never struggled in life. When I deserved it, when I did not deserve it, I've never struggled. And one time I heard my spiritual father say that there are some people that it is not them, it is not because of them or what they are doing that they receive favor and mercy, but it's because of a seed that has been sown. And my mom sowed a seed. For those that are Mergi people, I'm Mergi by tribe. She was the pioneer of Mergi gospel team. And I was so happy when Apostle said, they go to BU, they go to our villages for evangelism. Because that was the core of her work. She did not want to leave this world and her people were left in darkness. So her place of assignment was back home in the village. And my uncle would tell me that every time they went for evangelism, like I said, by her status and who she was, under normal circumstances, she shouldn't even be in the village. But he would say there were villages that they would go to that only a classroom was available for them to sleep. And my mom would sleep with them there in the classroom. And they would prepare for their crusades. They had Mergi, Jesus film in Mergi, translated in Mergi, in Kanuri, in Hausa. They had Bibles in Kanuri, in Hausa, in Mergi. That was her passion, to do the work of God, to make sure that the lives of her people were not lost. And so I'm a product of that grace. I'm a product of that grace. I do not even know the anointings that I carry, but I know that I carry something. 11 years is not a joke. So God needed to prepare my parents to receive me. Because if they did not prepare, maybe the enemy would have taken my life. And the truth is, he has tried on several accounts. But by the mercy of God, somehow, I've entered the surgery room twice for operations that by the time they are done, they are even like, they don't even know why they operated, because they did not see anything. So I am that person that the enemy has tried to silence. Again, like I said, he tried to use career and an easy pathway of life to distract me. Because for me, honestly, like not everything came easy. I don't know what it means to be unemployed. And so if you don't have a job today, when I pray, receive that grace. Because as I was finishing my master's, the call I got the day I submitted my dissertation, the call I got was my father. He said, you need to come back. This was like a Thursday. He said, you have an interview on Monday. You need to come back. I was like, where? Because I did oil and gas law for my master's, like was read in my bio. And so my mind was on NNPC. NNPC. And so when he called the place, I was just like, which one is that one again? Yeah, I don't even know that kind of place. But it took my husband to say, if you know what's good for you, you better carry your load and come back to Nigeria. NDIC is one of the top 10 government parastatals in Nigeria. When you're talking about good offices, they are conscious of their staff well-being, staff welfare, all of those things. It was not by my doing. It was the seeds that were sown. So I don't know what it means to look for a job. I don't know what it means to look for help, actually. You see, my brothers came here with me. It takes a lot for men to believe you. But the Bible says in Numbers, if I'm not mistaken, that these are the men that will stand by you. It's prophetic. Even them, they might not know why they are with me. But it's already written that there are men that God assigns to you. So at least I know there are little graces that I carry here and there. And for people who are in the line of profession as well, I'm a professional, I'm a lawyer, I'm a hardworking mom, I'm a 9-to-5 mom. I have 2 boys, 2 amazing children. At least, again, I have a grace in the area of motherhood. My sons are doing very well. I'm married to a policeman. So it means that most of the time I'm the one at home. He's not always around. But there's a grace for leadership in the place of family. So you see that I've called a couple of mountains of influences. Because first of all, your first priority is family. Because every communal original problem was a family problem that was not solved. And every regional problem or every national problem was a communal problem that was not solved. So the first point of attack is always the family. So you cannot neglect the home as a woman. It is your number one assignment. And as a woman on the front lines, your first front line is the family. That's your first front line. You don't have to be married. Your father's house should be your first front line. So I'm just going to pray as I release graces over you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. I pray over your daughters. Father, you sent me here for a reason. You sent me here for a purpose. You created me for a time like this, an appointed time like this. And Lord, I pray over every daughter that is here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace for empowerment, spiritual empowerment, financial empowerment. I know that Daddy said he was supposed to take you people on financial empowerment, but the place I work is a financial industry. We are just like CBN. We are like a brother to CBN. So I actually should be able to impart a grace for finance on you. So in the name of Jesus, I release the grace for financial empowerment.
Amen.
The works of your hands prosper.
Amen.
The works of your hands prosper.
Amen.
Nothing dies in your hands.
Amen.
Nothing dies in your hands.
Amen.
You will raise godly families.
Amen.
You will raise godly children.
Amen.
You will raise godly men and women around you.
Amen.
Again, I say, you will raise godly children.
Amen.
You will raise godly children.
Amen.
Father, any womb that has been shot by the enemy, I release that womb now.
Amen.
I release that womb now.
Amen.
And every child that is in the loins of the Spirit, I release those children to come in the volume of the books as it is written about them.
Amen.
To fulfill the assignment that God has sent them here to do. You will not die before your time.
Amen.
You will not die before your time.
Amen.
You will live to fulfill your destiny. You will live to fulfill your destiny. You will walk in alignment with the word of God. You will walk in alignment with the ways of God. You will walk in alignment with the things of God. And I push you. I come as a prophetic midwife. And I push you into the place of your assignment. For those of you who are yet to discover your assignment, receive the grace to discover your assignment.
Amen.
Receive the grace to discover your assignment.
Amen.
And for those of you who have discovered your assignment, I receive the grace for fresh unction. Fresh unction. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Receive the power for prayer. Fire for prayers. Fire to do word study. fire to what to read the book of God, that this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. Day and night you will continue to study the word of God. And lastly, receive the grace for transformation. That you will press for transformation. That at every point in your life, you will always look up to people who have gone ahead. And you will always press to do better, to be 10 times better than you are. That by this time next year, you will be 10 times better than you are. That those of you who are in the waiting room for marriages, by this time next year, I will hear testimonies that you have gotten your marriage, you have gotten your spouses. And those of you who are in the waiting room to deliver children, that by this time next year, as the prophecy came upon my mother, by the late Papa Idahusa, he walked this land, and so the mantle of his anointing is still upon this land. Therefore, I stand upon that unction, and I declare that anyone that is seeking the fruit of the womb, by this time next year, you will come here with your testimony. You will come here with your testimony. And if you are standing in for somebody, I pray that that person, even if you are watching online, I pray that by this time next year, you will have your babies. And you would deliver healthy children. You would deliver healthy children. You would deliver healthy children. And some of you, like the midwives who saved the sons of the Hebrew women, you will save the next generation. You will preserve the next generation. You will preserve the next generation. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for sending me as a vessel unto honor to do your will. Father, thank you for your daughters. Thank you for the ladies of valor. Thank you, oh God, even for the angel over this house. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that you will bless him.
Amen.
Father, that you will meet him at his point of need.
Amen.
Father, that you will send help from him from Zion.
Amen.
Father, that before he needs help, help will arrive.
Amen.
Father, everything that he needs, oh God, you will align them for him.
Amen.
Lord God Almighty, the errands that he needs to make his work easier, you will send them. You will train them. And Father, those who need to catch up with his training so that you can push him to the next level of his assignments, I pray that they catch up on time.
Amen.
I pray that they catch up on time.
Amen.
I pray that they catch up on time.
Amen.
That they will not delay him from moving to the next level. Because you know, sometimes it can be time for you to go, but the errands attached to you have not caught up with the prophecy upon your life. So they need to catch up. So therefore, once again, I decree and I declare that every Aaron that is assigned to the angel over this house, catch up with your prophetic assignments.
Amen.
Catch up with your prophetic trainings.
Amen.
Every training you need to learn, everything you need to know as he prepares for the next level where God is taking him, that you will catch up and you will be sensitive and you will serve him with all diligence. Lord, we give you all the glory. Be thou exalted, Lord Jesus. Be thou magnified, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for once again, a time to minister to your children. Father, take all the glory. Take all the honor. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Why don't you give Jesus a loud, 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 loud shout of praise?
Hallelujah. Please bear with me. Let's keep standing for 2 more minutes. I want Minister Pius, you can go up, sir. This man is a minister. He's also from Koinonia. He traveled in yesterday and has been with her. And I told him, you can't come all the way and not release something. So please, if you can't stand for the next 2 minutes, I want him to just speak a blessing and declaration in addition to what we have received from Mrs. Buba. Amen?
Go ahead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please put your hands together to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't be taking more time. Amen. I just want to say that truly, Pneumatech
is the dwelling of the wise. Amen. Honestly, it's truly the dwelling of the wise. You know, you judge the maturity of the people by the level and the depth of the word of God that they have access to part time. You know, there is a way believers are built. Believers are not built haphazardly. There is a curriculum that can make a believer, that can build a believer from an unbeliever till he becomes a victor and a champion. And haven't studied the apostle over this commission, this will be the first time. This was my first time in Maiduguri. I was at Pneumatech sometimes this month last year, but because of the meeting we came for, I didn't really have time to pay attention. I think it was a miracle service that time. There were a lot of healings and testimonies, and we didn't really stay long. We had to leave. But having studied him and listened to him very well, I see, this is just my opinion, I see this as an extension of the grace upon our Father and the Lord Apostle Joshua Selman. Honestly, sincerely. I know I'm here to just say a word of prayer, but I think I really need to say this. So thank you for being a blessing to the people. I was sharing with my brother, the God that came to welcome us while at the hotel. The North is actually a place that have very strong men, sincerely. Very strong people who have a depth of consecration, people who have a genuine and a serious work with God, but it's just a disadvantage that comes with this territory that many of them are not known and are not even given platform outside there. People like Pastor Moses is someone I know for, let's say, barely a year now. Every time we have the opportunity, and they are in our prayer group, there are two people for each days of the week, and it's me and him that is being given the same day to pray. Every time I celebrate what God is doing in his life, and people like Apostle here, these are people the world really needs to hear. And please do me a favor. Every message that is preached here, please post them on your status. Post them on your social media. You might not have the opportunity to come and preach, but be an extension of that grace by making more people to listen to what God is doing in the life of your man of God and the word of God that is coming through his mouth. Apostle, once again, thank you so much. Thank you for giving my the privilege to be a blessing to the people. Thank you. So please, in 1 minute, I know that I'm really here to pray, but please, every one of us here is an extension of the grace of God upon the life of Apostle. I really want us in 1 minute. I know I'm here to pray for us. Can we pray for Apostle? There is a lot that has gone into this meeting. Sincerely, there is a lot. You don't know the depth of spiritual investment. You see, everything we see in the physical is actually built from the realm of the spirit. True. The Bible said by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. That the things, Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11 and verses 3. He said that the things that we see, we are not made by the things which do appear. That they found their material body from the spiritual realm. Can we just pray for Apostle? More unction, light in the spirit. Light. An increased measure of the anointing. New wine. There was never any place women prayed in the Bible that God didn't answer them. Even Agar, that was a slave, prayed and an angel was troubled from heaven. Can we pray, women? This is a women conference. Even the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ was sponsored by the prayer of a woman. Please, can we pray? Can we pray? Everyone seeking his downfall, may they wait forever. Everyone fighting him, may they go down instantly. Can we pray? He will still come here and release that grace upon our lives. But can we pray for him? New wine, new strength by the Spirit. Let the Lord increase his horn like the horns of the unicorn, and may be anointed with fresh oil. Pray. Women, pray. Pray. Release grace upon his life. Release by the Spirit. Let's program the next level of this ministry, that God will amplify his voice to the ends of the earth. Lift up your voice and pray. One more minute. Barika bashilabra. Thou hast exalted like the horns of the unicorn.
And I am anointed with fresh oil. My horn thou hast exalted like the horn of the unicorn. And I am anointed with fresh oil. My horn thou hast exalted like the horns of the unicorn. And I am anointed with fresh oil. Father, we thank you. To God alone be all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Apostle, once again, sincerely, from the depth of my heart. Sir, I know you are a spiritual man, and by the Spirit you can judge. We are truly grateful. On behalf of my sister and myself, thank you for the hospitality. My God, sir, thank you for the food. The person that really cooked that food, the person is amazing, sincerely. Thank you, Pneumatech. We are really happy to be here. God bless you, and we are hoping to see you again. Thank you, Apostle. Put your hands together to Jesus.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.